In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. You see, Jesus did not do anything until he was baptized, until the Spirit of God came upon him, until the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he heard the voice of the Father, "You are my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I'm going to tell you, you see, we think that we're better than Jesus. Unless we have that infilling of the Holy Spirit, our ministries are going to be, well, barren. Jesus, who is both God and man, needed as a man that anointing, that call of the Father telling him who he was. He knew who he was. But I'm telling you, do you know who you are? Do I know who I am? In the Beloved, we are the beloved children of God. In the Beloved, we are the beloved sons of God. In the Beloved, we are God's own. You are my son. In you, I am well pleased. Hear God say that. You are my daughter. In you, I'm well pleased. You who have given your life to Jesus, you who have surrendered your life to Jesus, you are my child, and in you I am well pleased. We need that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see in the early church. The early church sat waiting and praying for the outpouring of the Spirit. Jesus said, "Go into the city and pray until you receive power from on high." After his ascension, they spent the time just seeking the face of God and praying for that gift of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole place. And there were tongues of fire that alighted on the disciples' heads. You see, then Peter and the 11 left the room and began to preach. Then Peter and the 11 began to do great things. And that's in the second chapter. 3,000 people are added to the church. Then, in the third chapter, we see Peter and John going to pray in the temple. And the man that was on a pallet was healed. Silver and gold, they said, we have not, but what we have we give you. In other words, until that presence of the Holy Spirit came, Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them, they couldn't do very much. They couldn't, oh yes, they had already done things when Jesus was alive, but now it's different, because now they are waiting for that Spirit that came upon Jesus, the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of power. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me just tell you that without the coming and giving of the Holy Spirit, we are impotent. We are impotent. The Word of God means very little to us. It's just black letters on white page without the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as a man, needed that. As a man, he needed that, though he was God. And he did not do any of the great works until that happened to him, until the Spirit of God came to him, alighted over him, and the Father's voice, "You are my beloved Son." Then we see after Jesus is baptized and the Spirit of God comes upon him, the devil was by the Jordan River, and he begins to tempt Jesus, torment Jesus. Jesus fasts for 40 days, but Jesus does not listen to the devil, who says, "You should worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you worship." And after he leaves the temptation, the scripture says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into the Galilee region, and he went out, and his fame spread through the region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." Jesus would teach in the synagogues. as he opened the book in Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. Now Jesus goes to the synagogue, and what happens in this synagogue? In this synagogue, there is a man with an unclean spirit, and the man with the unclean spirit begins to declare, I know who you are. See, the devil knows Jesus, his archenemy. I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, shut up, hold your peace, and come out of him. And the devil threw him in the midst, and he came out of the man and hurt him no more. Let me just tell you this. The sign of Jesus bringing the kingdom is that he is the great exorcist. He comes to destroy the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God. The great outpouring of the Spirit leads to the destruction of the kingdom of darkness. We see that becomes, in Luke's gospel, the first work that we hear about. He had already done things in Capernaum, but now everybody in the synagogue sees and hears. The devil knows who Jesus is, the Holy One of God, but Jesus says, I don't want any PR work from the devil. My PR work comes from the children of God. We are the ones to make him known, people who love him and who have surrendered their life to him. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Jesus was not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He had that power. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Sonship, had come upon him in such a marvelous way. Jesus, though he was God and is God, needed that. He needed that. He needed that as a man. And you know what? If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to cast out demons, I'm going to tell you, so do I. Without the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, the demons will have you running around and facing your own sin. Let me tell you about something that happened a long time ago. I received a call, or Father Martin received a call from a woman who had demonic problems. Somebody had cursed her food. Well, so they come on a Sunday, and Father Martin says, I received the call yesterday. Father Tom had been in New York preaching, but now he's home, and the lady and her daughter are there telling me of the troubles that they've had with demons. So the first thing I need to talk about is medicine. You know, have you got any medicine? And they said, yes, the medicine doesn't work. We know what it is. It's demonic. And I'm going to tell you this. We cast out that demon that day so simply. You want to know why? Because they came fasting and praying. They did not just come to Holy Rosary just looking for a touch from a priest. They came hungry, hungry, literally in the spirit, and hungry in the body. They did not eat. They fasted and prayed, praying that this demon would come out of her. And you want to know what? It did. And it was easy. And it wasn't easy because I did it. It was easy because the woman and her daughter had fasted and prayed. And they had been continually praying and fasting, and God answered the prayer. I tell you, it makes it a big difference when people come and they're ready for God to do something in their lives. It makes a big difference than they just come and, you know, looking for a touch from God. And that doesn't mean he doesn't get it. They don't get it. But if people come prayer and fasting, things begin to happen. So Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit. And the scripture says his fame went out into every place of the country about. Everybody starts to hear this. He casts out demons. You know, he casts out demons. We were there in the synagogue. We had gone on the Sabbath day to hear the word of God in the synagogue. And there was a man that was a little crazy. And Jesus commanded the demon to come out of him. And news spread throughout the area. And you know, as the news spread, the scripture says, and they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And his fame spread throughout the country. And he arose out of the synagogue, and from there he entered into Simon's house. I'm going to tell you, the synagogue at Capernaum is just across the street from where Simon Peter lived with his mother-in-law and with his wife and probably with their children. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was taken ill with the great fever, and they besought Jesus for her. Now, we're talking about a fever that can kill people, because this is before antibiotics. This is before medicine. What they would do is probably get some leeches to suck out the blood. But Jesus is there, and they say, you know, Peter's mother-in-law is very sick with a high fever. She's burning up. And the word of God says, and Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Oh, Jesus, stand over us today. Stand over us today and rebuke whatever is not of you. Jesus, stand over us today. Do not leave us to ourselves. Stand over us today and rebuke that which is not of you. It says, and the fever left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. She started to serve them immediately. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen now. Of course, his fame is going to be spread. People are going to come. They're going to come into Peter's house because they find out where he is. You know, and what happens is that people come, and Jesus is completely surrounded by the sick. And his fame went out throughout the country. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered Simon's house. And Simon's mother-in-law was taken with the fever, and Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she began to minister unto him. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. You see, when the word gets out, people want to come to this holy man of God, you know, that they're sick, and they need a touch from this Jesus. They had heard about what happened in the synagogue. They had heard about Simon's mother-in-law. You know, she's saying, you know, I was sick today. I couldn't get out of bed. I was sick today. Jesus just put his hand on me and rebuked the fever, and I was healed. And people start coming now. They're coming to be ministered to. Now the sun was setting, and all they that had sick with diverse diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them. He rebuked them and commanded them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Again, the devils know exactly who Jesus is. He is their arch enemy. The devil knows exactly who Jesus is, and he does not want PR from Satan or from any demon. The PR work will come from the disciples that love God, the disciples that love Jesus. And when the day had departed, Jesus went into a desert place. So he has spent the day rebuking the devil, casting out demons, healing the sick, and I'm going to tell you, he was tired and he needed to be alone with the Father. And you know what happened? He goes into the desert to a quiet place, seeking the face of the Father, because he knows that only the Father and only the Holy Spirit can give him this power as a human being. He needs to be with the Father. And you know what? Everybody follows him. people sought him and came unto him and commanded him not to depart from them. In other words, he can't even be quiet and pray because people come after him. People run. They need a touch. They need to be healed. They're sick. And here is Jesus, the Dr. Jesus free clinic, you know. Dr. Jesus' free clinic. And they say, you got to stay here. Got to stay here. And Jesus says, no. No, I'm not going to stay here. For he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. In other words, they want Jesus to stay so that Jesus can continue to be the great healer, the great physician. But Jesus says, I've got to go elsewhere. I've got to go and proclaim the kingdom of God elsewhere. You know, they said, let's raise up a tent, you know. You know, this is a great ministry. And Jesus says, no, this is not why I came. I came to announce the kingdom of God. And you saw demons coming out of the man. And because of that, the finger of God is upon me. And the kingdom of God is upon us all. The casting out of demons, the exorcism is the great sign of the kingdom. Kingdom of darkness being destroyed and the kingdom of light being upheld. We know that the kingdom of darkness was completely destroyed on the cross. On the cross. And that's where Jesus will meet the devil and command him to literally shut up, and that anyone who seeks him, the crucified, can be delivered of the demonic. It is there on the cross that Jesus healed our wounds and carried our infirmities. It is there on the cross, which is the wisdom of God, that Jesus saved us from hell. It is there on the cross that Jesus completely breaks down and pulls down the demonic forces. Where would we be without the cross of Jesus? I'm looking at the fifth chapter of St. Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of called Gennesaret or Galilee. Jesus stood by the lake and he preaches. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him that it would just be brought out into the water, because the crowds were pushing him and pulling on him. And so Jesus preaches from the boat. He uses the boat as a pulpit. And, you know, he's very smart, because now not only does he use the boat as a pulpit, but it's like a cup, and his voice is going to reverberate down to where all the people are, and people are going to hear him. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now Simon is a fisherman, and Simon answers him and says, Lord, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Simon Peter says something that I believe the church is saying now. We have toiled for a long time and have caught nothing. Every program that we have has not brought about the kingdom of God. We have toiled all night and have caught nothing. I'm bringing you back to the baptism when the Spirit of God came upon Jesus. I'm bringing you to the Pentecost event when the Spirit of God came upon Peter and the 120. I'm bringing you back that you're not going to catch very much. You're not going to do very much unless the Spirit of God is in your life, unless you are yielded to the Spirit of God. Peter says, Lord, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing, but at your word I will throw down the net. At your word. Well, Peter knows that there's nothing out there. He had toiled all night and caught nothing. And so what happens? Now, when he left speaking, he said unto Peter, go out into the deep. And Peter answered, said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets were not broken. My Lord, my Lord, here is Peter the fisherman. And at the word of Jesus, the fish start jumping into the nets. And what happened? When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and they beckoned unto their partners, that John and Andrew, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. In other words, there's so much fish, so many fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Simon Peter knows that he's in the presence of someone holy now. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Get away from me, because I am a sinful man. It's the same thing that happened with Isaiah in the temple. You know, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord and heard the Lord. Woe is me, depart from me. It's the same with Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I'm too young to preach. And the Lord says, don't say you're too young. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Now Peter says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ repairs sin by his blood. Jesus Christ takes away sin by his blood. Simon Peter saw it and fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. But he was astonished at all the fish that they had taken into the boat. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, because henceforth you shall be catching men. And when they be brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. So this is the conversion of Peter. Depart from me, I am a sinful man. Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to deal with your sin. But you know, you're going to be catching men from now on. No more will you be catching fish. They sold their nets, they sold their boats, and they started to follow Jesus. They left everything to follow Jesus. And that's the beginning of the disciples going out two by two, going to the world, I should say, going to Israel, proclaiming the kingdom of God, anointing people with oil, and people getting healed. But the great thing happens at Pentecost. When Jesus says, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Greater things than I shall you do, because I go to the Father, and I send the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, we are in need of the Holy Spirit. We are in need of the Spirit of Jesus. Oh, Father, how much more will you give the Spirit to those who ask? So I come to you today asking that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. And Jesus, that same Spirit that hovered over you and that same Spirit that was in your heart, we need that unction, that anointing, that presence. Send your Spirit upon us, O Lord, because we are in need. We are in absolute need. Without your Spirit, we can do very little, if anything at all. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit upon us, O God, like a rushing mighty wind, like fire that comes from heaven, like rain pouring down. O God, send forth your Spirit upon your people. We are in need of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. We are in need of your Holy Spirit. You converted Peter. You converted James and John. You converted Andrew. O Lord, pour out upon us the Holy Spirit, that we would do the works that you do, and greater still, and help us to hear that as you went out into the desert to pray, so we need to be quiet and pray. We need to be quiet and pray. Lord, you needed to go and be with the Father. How much more do we need to go and be with the Father? I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. Oh, how I need the Holy Spirit. I tell you today, I need to hear from you so that we can pay our August bills. You've been listening to me for years and years and years, and you never have sent anything. Seek the Lord as to how he wants you to respond. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Yes, I want to also tell you that on Sunday evening, we have praise and worship in the church between 7 and about 9:15. You're welcome to come and join us every Sunday. On Saturday evening, we have Mass at 5:30, and after Mass, we pray for the sick. Yesterday, a woman came to us, and we had prayed with her, and her tumors shrunk 75% of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you heal the sick and you raise the dead. Thank you, Jesus. We turn to you today, God, asking for an outpouring of your Spirit like we've never experienced before. Again, I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I want to tell you that Charismatic Renewal in Boston are having their big annual retreat conference, and it's on the 14th and 15th of September. I'll give you more information in the days to come. 14th and 15th of September, Charismatic Renewal in Boston having their great conference. Please, my friends, pray for me that I would be able to seek the Lord with all of my heart. Pray for me that I be able to continue to preach the Word of God without any, that I be able to preach the Word of God as it is the Word of God that changes people's hearts. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.